under you, the Almighty God. Thank you for the privilege that we have to minister your word at this time. Pray grant us the word, the grace to minister the word of God with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray that a clear channel be created and maintained in the heavenlies, to which more than enough of the life and power of God flows. Father, the word of God, we have a free course, and the word of God will be glorified. By the reason of the Spirit and the word, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will meet needs, you will bring glory to the name of Jesus. Blessings to the sons of men. Our Father, you will solve doubts, and you will dissolve riddles in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, so that the glory will go to God, and blessings, edification, and transformation will come to us, the sons of men, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are not ignorant of the device of the enemy against effectual delivery and receiving of the word. And so in unity with my brethren and under the covering of our fathers and the lordship and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, fear, unbelief, weariness, weaknesses, infirmities, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil or such contrary foul spirit. We cast you out. We destroy what's resisting, bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God, seven spirits of God, to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning our prayers, concerning the ministration of the word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think. According to your power, there's a work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Father, we declare that we love you.
We declare everlasting love for you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. A super hand clap. Amen. You may be seated. Ministers, God bless you. Instrumentalists, God's grace, anointing, oil and glory under the covering of the fathers continue to be your portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You are welcome to Zion City Fellowship, campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Thank you for the honor of our parents. Pray that the oil and the unction and the anointing will not run dry upon their lives in Jesus' name. We thank God for the privilege that they've given us unto us to stand in this position to minister the word of God. Praise the Lord. Today, I think I have the shortest title that I have ever preached. The title of our message today is called The Flesh. It's called what? It's called The Flesh. Amen. It's called The Flesh. And without missing words, that's why we want to always acknowledge and give honor to our spiritual fathers. Praise the Lord. Because it takes apostolic grace to give accurate definitions in the word of God. Praise the Lord. Because some of those definitions are foundational truths. And like Paul said, we looked at last week, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Praise the Lord. When you don't know the foundation, then it's left to your assumption. Praise the Lord. Pastor said many years ago, walk in the Spirit. And you know, for the, okay, how do you walk in the Spirit? Then people are now, they are hanging. Like the computer with a low RAM that is hanging. You must, brethren, you must walk in the Spirit. Excuse me, sir. How do we walk in the Spirit? It takes apostolic grace. Praise the Lord. To define those kind of things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another one. Love not the world. What is the world? What is the world? Because lack of such definition, people say, don't watch TV. Don't smile to sisters. Don't wear nice clothes. Why the misappropriation application? No clear definition. No clear revelation. And these are foundational truths. And Pastor told us then, said the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with the revelation knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. That our will will be more submitted to the will of God. And our emotions will be tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's how you walk in the Spirit. And also that's how you avoid the world. The world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Praise the Lord. So we say today, the flesh. And I said those things about 105 because the pastor gave us that definition. That the functional definition of the flesh is the sin nature in the soul and in the body. Praise the Lord. If you take the sum of the scripture, the sin nature in the soul, will, mind, and emotion, and in the physical body, mortal body, make up what we call the flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when they say kill the flesh, so I don't carry knife and start hitting yourself. And start hitting yourself. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and lives inside a body. Praise the Lord. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and lives in a body. Amen. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, I wish that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of Christ. Amen. Be preserved blameless to the coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So whole spirit, soul, and body. Yes. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And when Christ died and rose again from the dead, he gave a legal ability for this to be done. Praise the Lord. A legal and a vital ability for it to be done. Amen. Because if you try to do this before Jesus died, Satan can always say that no, Adam has delivered that right. Adam has delivered mankind unto death. The day you eat of this fruit, you shall die. So you cannot be moving to this blamelessness when you are already delivered unto death. Spiritual death. But when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he gave a legality for this path. And when you give your life to Christ, the first place that gets that transformation is your spirit. Praise the Lord. And then you have a new man. Amen. You have a what? A new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that spirit? Complete reconfiguration of the spirit. It goes from darkness to light. Amen. From death to life. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. The word of God abided forever. So that word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, enters into you and transform your spirit, man. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise the Lord. So it's that spirit that gets born again. Praise the Lord. But it is the whole spirit, soul, and body that must be kept blameless. So there are still problems in the soul and in the mortal body. Praise the Lord. That's the sin nature inside of it. The sin nature is still there. So there is a hybrid of righteousness and unrighteousness in the same body. Praise the Lord. You either do two things about it. Number one, you can act in denial. that no, you are born again. There is no infirmity in you, no unrighteousness in you. You are a child of God. You are clean and you are whole, and Satan has no part in you. That was what was paid for. But that's not what you're experiencing. Praise the Lord. It's only spirit that is born again. There is still some problem in the soul and in the body. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. There's a lot in Romans 7, but we'll pick it. Verse 14. For we know. Say, God help me to know. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. He's not talking of an unbeliever. He's talking of a Christian. Praise the Lord. Have you met a spiritual person before? I'm not talking of unbeliever. Christian is, but he walks in the spirit. He's sensitive to the spirit. Have you met a spiritual person before? Is the person a spirit or a human being? It's a human being. Praise the Lord. But he's spiritual. Praise the Lord. He's not a spirit. He's a human being. Okay, have you met a carnal Christian before? Are you saying he's not a Christian? He's a Christian, isn't he? But he's carnal. Because he's actually born again. You can't say he's not born again. But many times he yields to the flesh. That's what Paul is talking about here. We looked at verse 14, isn't it? Okay. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. That means I do some things, but really I didn't want to do them. Praise the Lord. You do something, someone say, I should not have said that. You just say that thing comes as a witness. You didn't want to do it, but that's what you did. Praise the Lord. Let's finish that. For what I would. That's the one I want to do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Please help me increase the volume of this mic. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, soul and body, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. You're a child of God. You want to do the right thing. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me to the law into captivity, to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? it gives you the picture that you are doomed or you are in trouble, isn't it? Paul said, oh, wretched man. May we not be wretched. But I was honest here. Oh, wretched, who shall deliver me? I thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It has made you free. Praise the Lord. So there is a problem, but there is a solution. Praise the Lord. He didn't deny the problem, but he said there is a solution. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure many of us, to one degree or the other, are experiencing that spiritual drag. Amen. 30% of the time you are doing the right thing. 70% of the time you are doing the wrong thing. Then on some days, 70% of the time you are doing the right thing. 30% of the time you are doing the wrong thing. And some nice days, maybe with fasting, with mercy and cold, 90% of the time you are doing the right thing. 10% of the time you are doing the wrong thing. Then just after the fufu and the fried rice and everything, then you now see 40% of the time you are doing the wrong thing. 60% you are doing the right thing. Praise the Lord. Who will deliver me? Who will deliver me? Say, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a possibility to be free. Amen. That means for 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless. Praise the Lord. Until the coming of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, now, let me paint a reality picture to you. Praise the Lord. A what? You see all these reality shows on TV. Reality picture. So when you are born again, your spirit is born again. Okay? You are a child of God. You are a bona fide, blood-washed child of God. And then you start to want to live a victorious life and a prosperous life. Praise the Lord. And you are told, particularly if you go to a good church, you go to a foundation of faith classes where they teach you the foundation of the Christian faith. They'll tell you your blessings as a child of God. Amen. Your blessings as a what? Child of God. That you can trust God for healing. Amen. Can trust God for deliverance. When you're in the day of trouble, call upon God. Can trust God for prosperity. Can trust God for favor. You can trust God. So, and all that is 100% correct. And we all work in it, and we will keep working in it. The danger is for you never to be told that the sin nature, that flesh, still has to be dealt with. And you are just okay with demanding and extrapolating your blessings. And say, well, once I'm blessed, leave the sin nature alone. Praise the Lord. That's the danger. That is what? The danger. It's like a child whose father will always feed him. Say he needs clothes. The father bought it. He's hungry. They say, go to the kitchen, go and eat. Then he goes for his exams. He's not serious in school. He fails. But when he gets home, even though he failed, he says he's hungry. They still say he should go and eat. It's his birthday. They still bought him clothes. Then he wants to believe, hopefully, I can keep failing. Because whether I pass or fail, I will always eat. They will always buy me clothes. Is that a worthy child? No. That is exactly, I said, let me paint a reality picture for you in Christianity. Get blessed, get healed, get God to always intervene in all your situations, and forget that you have a responsibility for this life of God in your spirit to grow into your soul and grow into your body, and you drive out the sin nature. That is the problem the church is having. People don't want to preach that side and just emphasize that when you are blessed, you are healed, you'll be delivered, you will get a life partner, you have your home, you have your children, and you continue to be blessed. And then when you die, you go to heaven. Forget this other side. Because whether you do it or not, God is your father, you'll be blessed. It creates irresponsible Christians. Praise the Lord. Who will never look like God. Amen. It's like the child who remains a child. He's 15 years old. He still talks like a 5-year-old. The parents won't disown him. But he'll be bringing heartache to the parents. Praise the Lord. I think we should be tired of the heartaches that we are giving God. Let's grow. Let's mature. That's what Jesus did. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. It's not giving me a heartache. Amen. Say amen. Those are the things. It's a reality picture. And that's why we, in Zion City Fellowship, try to raise up youths that we take up responsibility in God's house for the next generation. See, that's what they call status quo. Status quo is just leave it as it is. Just do what? Leave it as it is. Yoruba will say, Ejamashe, Boshenshe, just leave it as it is. In one of our platforms, WhatsApp platforms, somebody was, he put in the manifesto of one of the presidential candidates. I don't want to mention names so that no partisan talk here. Someone said, it's not possible. He can't do it. In short, he cannot do it. How can that be done? So inside me, I just smiled. I tried to go away from all their political conversation. But what I saw was that candidate was talking about changing what we have always said we want to change. But now when he's talking, he was not talking about how it will be done. It's going to cause some pain. People say, no, he can't do it. In short, he will not do it. Status quo is always very easy. Praise the Lord. It's not change for the better will ever be convenient. No change for the better. I'm saying that because all this, let's fight the sin nature, let's grow the glory of God and go. Once you start it, you're going to meet some things you didn't expect to meet. And you now say, let's leave it the way, let us leave it the way it was before. That's what happens. I'm painting a reality check. The person was talking, he was talking about restructuring. It's always a song. We'll restructure Nigeria. This man now talked about the things to put in place. He said, he cannot do it. In short, he cannot do it. This time I just laughed. But you're always talking restructuring. But this is the consequence. It's going to end up being good, but it's going to have some pain. In surgery, if you break your bone, But it did not break. It just slanted a little. We call it green stick fracture. The bone is still intact, complete. But there is a fault line in the bone. So when there is a fracture like that, probably they now say, the way this thing is, no problem. You didn't even go to the doctor when it happened. You put rub and aboniki. And then you are walking. But when you try to run, that thing came up again. Then you try to rest a little. Then one day you say, let me exercise. Let me join my friends to play handball. As you took the first leap and came down, then you say, I'm not playing again. You stepped out. Then they put rub again. Aboniki, you rested. It was okay. And then finally you went to see the doctor. And the doctor said, you are going to come in for surgery. We're going to cut open the leg. We're going to put a plate to hold the bone together. And we're going to screw the plate up. You say, can never happen. So you go back. I say, He said, and for 7 days, you'll be in the hospital. Then you continue your managing as it is. And there's nothing they manage. It gets worse. It gets worse. And worse. And God forbid, the time comes, it gets infected. God forbid, the time comes, they say, they may have to cut off the leg. But what were you running for? That's 7 days in the hospital where they will do it. And then the thing will heal completely and you'll be fully back to normal. Reality check. Praise the Lord. So that's really the problem. We know God will always bless us as his children. But we have the responsibility to grow. Praise the Lord. Increase the capacity of the spirit and let the power of life in the spirit go into the will, the mind, the emotion, the body. Praise the Lord. But you say, if we do that, we'll be blessed. If we don't do it, we'll be blessed. Then why bother? Like I said, it creates irresponsible Christians. And we are not that in Zion City Fellowship. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the last two verses. 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them. Praise the Lord. He's talking of the sin nature. Come out from among them. Come out. One by one, come out. They know you. You always tell lies and exaggerate. You are born again, no? You are a Christian, but the people know you always tell lies and exaggerate. Come out from that behavior. Praise the Lord. You're a Christian, but you don't joke with money. You're ready to fight ever for money. Come out from that covetousness. Praise the Lord. Come out from among them. Praise the Lord. And be ye separate. Saith the Lord. Eka, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. Praise the Lord. See, God is your father. But when you do what he wants you to do. Praise the Lord. He told Jesus, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm happy. So he's talking of a close father. God doesn't deny people. You are born again. God was Samson's God. Praise the Lord. As he was misbehaving, God was his God. If you try to attack Samson, God will attack you. God defended him in the midst of his misbehaving. But God could never say about Samson, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He couldn't. So God is always our father. But he said, when you separate yourself from this unclean, and I will be a father is the expression, amen, of fatherhood. The full expression of fatherhood. Some people pray to God. Sometimes they don't know whether God is answering or not. They try, but there is a place in the Bible. Say, he assured some people, his children, that if you walk in this category, when you say my God, I will say here I am. That's another level of fatherhood. So you pray to me, I will answer. You will say my God, I will say here I am. That will say if you clean yourself from me, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Said the Lord Almighty. Go to chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises. He's talking of the promises from chapter 6. To take away yourself from sin, I'll be a father unto you. You'll be my son and daughter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, that's actually the soul, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. And like Pastor said, perfecting means continuous. Keep at it. You'll be getting better, you'll be getting better, you'll be getting better, you'll be getting, you'll miss it many times, not even sometimes. But you stand up, you get better, you get better, you get better. Praise the Lord. And I'll be a father unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to the last tranche of the scriptures before we say how. And that is taken from Psalm 18. Psalms 18. You see, if you have, now we all use electronic Bible. For those who have those manual Bible, Old King James, where they put a title to every chapter in Psalms. You know those Bibles? This one is a cry of distress. A cry of what? Distress. That's the title here. It's a cry of distress. And that distress is sin. Praise the Lord. It's sin. It actually used physical enemies. But I want to give the spiritual correlates. Praise the Lord. So it's there. It is human beings causing distress. But I'm trying to bring it out that the sin nature causing us distress. Praise the Lord. You see yourself lying. You see yourself in immorality in thought. You see yourself not forgiving. You see yourself holding grudges for so. If you are really a child of God, I said, you are in distress. You don't want to be doing these things. Praise the Lord. So, let's quickly look at it. Like I said, he's using physical enemies, but extrapolate it spiritually. From verse 34. This stuff is good. I don't know where. Okay, let's 34. This is God. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. This is an assurance that God will see you through. Praise the Lord. Bow of steel is something that looks formidable. But God says he will teach your hands to war. Praise the Lord. That he teacheth also talks about continuous. Continuous. God will keep teaching you. The time comes, bows of steel. Naturally, when you see bows of steel, you say, I cannot break it. Praise the Lord. But God said, when he will teach you to war, spiritual warfare. He will teach you, bows of steel will be broken by your hands. Praise the Lord. Be broken by your hands. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holding me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. That's what happens to sin many times, makes us fall. But God is assuring us that he will enlarge. enlarge our feet under us, and we will not fall. So let's see these details of pursuing the enemy from verse 37. I have pursued my enemies, and I have overtaken them. Praise the Lord. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, sexual immorality, fear, unbelief, pride. I have pursued all my enemies, and I have what? Overtaken them. That's what God has promised us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is possible. And it will be done in Jesus' name. There shall be a performance of those things spoken by God in Jesus' name. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Leave no stone unturned. Amen. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. Amen. The time will come, we say, I just thank God. If it was in my days, I would have finished 3 plates of pounded yam. Overeating was your problem. But you have overcome all that now. Praise the Lord. You just look back and you just smile. Praise the Lord. If it was not, you say, in those days, Kai, I will never have forgiven him. Because unforgiveness was your trading mark. But God has helped you. You have overcome that now. Praise the Lord. And you just smile and thank God for the victory he has given you. Amen. That's how it is. Gradually, one by one, we overcome all our infirmities. Amen. Which verse are we? Verse 38, isn't it? I have wounded them, and they were not able to rise. They are falling under my feet. Praise the Lord. They have subdued all those that rose against me. So that is the principle. It's a Christianity that we can't turn a blind eye on. Amen. We can't turn a blind eye to it. So our Christianity is not just limited to God bless me, God give me, God prosper me, God provide for me. God, look at this challenge. God, see me through. Oh, God of my fathers. And God will do all those things. But we need to look at the aspect of spiritual growth and development. Amen. Spiritual growth and development. Where we have to always cling with the blood of Jesus. Read the word of God. Pray in the spirit. Amen. And gradually drive out the sin. Having therefore this morning, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the soul, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, I'm going to round up with, how do we do this? How do we do this? I want tonight look at 3 tools. They are together they are compact, but look at it in 3 ways. Number 1, humility. Number 1 is what? Humility. You know the humility in this place? When you see your infirmity, say, God, help me. Amen. Don't deny it. Don't run from it. You don't need to tell anybody. Confess it to God. Say, God, help me. Amen. That's humility. God, this problem is there. Have mercy on me. That's humility. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke 8, 15. Thank you. But that, this is the Bible of the sower, is the good ground that brought 100-fold. Amen. The 100-fold Christian is the one that drives out all the sin nature. Praise the Lord. Because once you drive out the sin nature, one thing is assured, all your destiny you will fulfill. There is no hindrance. What hinders any man from fulfilling his destiny is the sin nature. Amen. So start to push out. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. That's that humble heart. Amen. That's where it starts from. There are they which are honest and good heart. It's not the fact that you have a problem that is the problem. It's to be humble about it before God. Amen. Ah, God, this thing is still there. It hasn't gone. No. Ah, God, help me. God, have mercy on. That's a humble heart. Praise the Lord. Bible calls it a broken and a contrite spirit. God said, I will not despise. Amen. So the first two is humility. Amen. The second one is diligence. The second one is what? Diligence. Don't give up. It's a war. Keep fighting. Praise the Lord. You know, I told you something. I said, start. People like status quo. Because the truth is, when you start this journey, you want to bind the devil constantly, cast out the sin nature, every spirit of immorality, thoughts of covetousness, I cast you out. The devil will fight you. He will fight you. Say, my friend, you better stay in your blessing and prosperity. Leave this one alone. Because he knows your blessing and your prosperity, you still remain a child and a baby. You will not have the capacity to deal with him. But if you go into this side and God helps you and he will help you and you are delivered, then you are going to deal with him. So he's going to do all the chakra. Eh? He will turn all hell against you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's the chakra now. He intimidates you. Don't go there. Oh. Don't go there. Just stay with your blessing. In short, you can be blessed more. But don't go here. Don't even near it. No, you fight. Praise the Lord. Fight. Stand up. Diligence. Diligence in those three things. Blood of Jesus. To confess your sins. Diligence in the word of God. See the word of God against your infirmities. You bind. You see, you have pride. Hey, say one little thing. You just see it. Hey, this is a wave of pride. You see it. See it in your members. You turn the word of God against it. I am meek and lowly in heart. It's not the nature of Christ. Every spirit of pride. See the way you looked at that person with disdain. You tell yourself that's not good. Bind that spirit of pride. Praise the Lord. That love for money, bind it. That's sexual immorality. Bind it. Praise the Lord. And diligence. You bind it, will come back. You bind again. You come back, you bind again. Then the force in which he's using to come back starts to reduce. Takes time. But bind it, it will come back. Bind it again. Praise the Lord. Endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's a war. That's why diligence is important. You bind it again. And I see the Ukrainians. The Russians come, you fight back. You fight back. Praise the Lord. So diligence. And that's what the scripture says here. Where's that? Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground, Eka, are they which in a honest and good heart haven't heard the word. Keep it. That's the diligence. Keep it. Keep it. Don't throw it away. Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. It's not overnight. It's not overnight. Stay with it. Praise the Lord. The tools. Humility. Praise the Lord. And diligence. Scripture coming to my mind on humility. See, there is a wisdom to be righteous. Praise the Lord. There's a what? The general wisdom. When pastor teaches, bind the devil and go. But because you're a unique person, you have your own infirmities. And at the end, God is the one that will give you the wisdom. Praise the Lord. To overcome that one that always besets you. Praise the Lord. Say, no, next time, when this thing is coming this way, this is what you should do. You have your own wisdom of how to deal with your own infirmity. Praise the Lord. Give me that scripture. From the it turns the hand of the disobedience to the wisdom of the just. I think it's Luke. Luke chapter 3. Just put wisdom, just. Wisdom of the just. Yes. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Just is righteousness. There's a wisdom to be righteous. There's general one, but there's the one for your life based on your own particular infirmity. Amen. God will show you. No. You know how to deal with it. That's where the devil is defeated. You have your own infirmity. You use the general one, bind the devil and go, but there is one. Can't generalize it. You know it. And God now said, to deal with this one, do this. Wisdom of the just. But how do you get wisdom? With the lowly is wisdom. That's why that's where that humility is important. With the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. Once you have that lowliness, you're going to get the wisdom of the just. It's a way to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The people prepared for the Lord are those who cleanse out that sin nature, spirit, soul, and body. And we are now made holy and clean. Amen. By the blood. Wisdom of the just. Okay, so I need to round up. So the first one is humility. Choose to use. Second one is diligence. The third one is stay under covering. Is what? Paul says, follow me. As I do what? Follow Christ. Let me just give you a summary of what covering does for us in this situation. It gives us a booster for righteousness. It gives us a what? And reduces the consequences of our infirmities. It gives you a booster for righteousness and reduces the consequences of our infirmities. Hello? Come here. I appreciate your coming despite the rain. And that's why I want you closer to me. You're welcome. That's what covering does. Praise the Lord. That's what covering does. There it says it turns the heart of the fathers to the children and the children too to the fathers. The children also to the fathers. That's where covering is important. Like I said, it's a booster. Isaiah becomes a covering. A shield from the tempest and a protector from the weary land. That's what covering does. It's a booster for righteousness. Just see yourself with increased strength. And in your error, it reduces the impact of your punishment. Amen. Last scripture. Second Corinthians. Coming, let me get. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Praise the Lord. It's God that will see us through this thing. So don't start calculating all the work on your hands. Calm down. Our sufficiency is of God. Amen. That's the beauty of humility. Once you accept that you need God's help, watch God do it. Amen. Watch God do it. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture about money that I want to turn it to a scripture of righteousness. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes people turn righteousness to money. Okay? But this time, we have a privilege today to turn money to righteousness. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. That scripture in its original form is talking about money. It's talking about what? Say money. But I want to turn it to righteousness. Praise the Lord. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work in righteousness. Praise the Lord. It means when you are a righteous person, who did it? God. Amen. He's able to make all grace. Grace did much more abound. God will make all grace to abound to you, so that you are having all sufficiency, humility, praying in the Spirit, blood of Jesus, covering of the Father, all sufficiency may abound to every good work. Praise the Lord. So it's God that will do it. God is the one who will help us. God will sustain us. But don't let us live in denial that we don't have a battle to fight. And God is just all about blessing us, healing us, providing for us. God will always do that. Amen. But let us also get ready to grow spiritually, so that we are responsible children. There's something I must end with. Nobody can yet fathom God's blessings for the responsible children. Do you hear me? God loves everybody. Oh, God even loves the sinner. Bible says so, isn't it? He loves the sinner. So, but some people among the sinners decide to get born again. There's a special love of God for them. Praise the Lord. God still loves the sinner, but there's a special love for these ones that are now God's children. Praise the Lord. Who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then these children, God will bless them. He will heal them. He will provide for them. He will protect them. But among his children, some decide to grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. Some decide not to grow. They are still God's children, but they have left that children pool. And then they've now gone into maturity. Praise the Lord. They are the ones that have been trying to become like Christ. And what did God say about such people? Say, because you have loved righteousness and you have hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Those fellows are fellow children. They are children of God. You say, God loves people equally. God is not partial. That's not scripture. That's not scripture. Say, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, that's like God swearing by himself. God could have just said, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, I will. Say, no, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Those fellows are fellow Christians. Amen. We do not know yet the blessings on our lives by following this path of spiritual maturity. But it's not heaven that will show it. It will be shown on earth here. Praise the Lord. It will be shown where? On earth. Say, this is our God. That's what human beings will now say about you. This is our God. We have waited for him. They see the nature of God in you. Amen. Young people, we need to hear this. So we are motivated. Not cut ourselves short. We want to think, if you follow God, just follow God, then it's boring. I always tell my son, my friend, God is not boring. Don't know him well yet. When you go in the path of spiritual growth, let me leave the microphone to Pastor Lauli with this. When you grow to spiritual maturity, what are we now talking about? What were your dreams? Computer analyst? Literature? Poetry? the arts, science and tech, biology, drug design, medicine, any field of endeavor eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what God has planned for those who love Him. In this earth, there's no shortchanging for those who follow God. In maturity, God will show what He can do through a man. They said about Jesus, we've never seen it like this. He does all things well. It's not just miracles. When He speaks, His words are with authority. He doesn't speak like the scribes. The scribes are the special people to speak the law of God. He said, but Jesus, He said, He does not speak like, He speaks with authority. The politician that is matured spiritually, the difference will show. Amen. Amen. So there is a big positive in growing spiritually, and particularly for with the young ones. There's a great future ahead. That future is not without God. Forget that dream. Praise the Lord. In which you have weighed your option, it looks as if, whoa, let me just do it like this and go and diminish God. That's your great future. Is not without God. In short, it is all of God. Praise the Lord. It is all God. Then you get to your full future. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Pastor Lola, the distinguished man of God.
God is distinguished. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The place is rather quiet. Is either you are cold or the message was really, I just finished reading a book that I got, and you know, it's good to read good books. I'm so happy that Prof brought up this message. The title of the book is actually Licensed to Kill. Licensed to Kill, a Field Manual for Mortifying Sin. I just discovered this guy, this author, you know, and I've followed him just within two books that I've read from him. You know, he's not a popular guy, but he's rather young, between my age and Prof's age. You know, but it's amazing that this thing that Prof has preached, and we've heard over the years. You know, it's good to hear people. There are not many, you know, around the world, and I'll tell you why, that preach this kind of thing. All right, that preach about the flesh, the sin nature, and I'll tell you the reason. The reason is while Prof was preaching, the thing was just coming to me. We have three categories of people, from what Prof was saying. And the Holy Spirit was just telling me. We have the ignorant people. They are not even taught about this thing. The pastor doesn't mention it. And I'll tell you why the pastor doesn't mention it. The pastor or whatever overseer or whatever title is given in that church, they don't mention it. They don't talk about the sin nature. They don't talk about the battle. They don't talk about the war. They don't talk about the guerrilla warfare that is happening. Then you have another category of people. They are partying. Imagine people partying during war. Alright? You know, Pastor Prof was talking about reality. We are talking about reality of the times. We are talking about a reality show. This is reality. So we have ignorant people. So you have a category of Christians that are totally ignorant that there is a war. Imagine being in Ukraine and you don't know that there is war. Then you have a category of people that all they are doing is partying. It's just blessing. Bless me club. You know? The Bible says that they will say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Be very careful about such camps, because you'll be deceived. The ignorant ones is Satan that has actually covered their face. The Bible says that the God of this world blinds men. You understand? It blinds them to our revelation of this warfare. And because the reason why he blinds them from the reality of the warfare is because he knows that these guys are overcomers. They are cubs. They are lions, even though they are still cubs. And it's Prof that was saying, because it's this field, that a cub, a lion's child, is a lion. Do you understand? It has the DNA of a lion, even though it's still small. When it grows up, what it will do, the manifestation of that nature is going to be manifestation of a lion. So you see, Satan is more aware of the victory and the damage that Christians, born-again Christians, born-again regenerated spirits can do to his camp and to his kingdom than the Christian. Do you understand? That's why he keeps them, one, either ignorant, two, keep them in the party club, bless me club, and then number three. And this is the one that he does for the spiritual, the ones that have revelation and understanding. He wearies them. He gets them tired. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can see three categories of people. So as I'm talking, you have to know where you are. It's like Prof talked about. You have to be honest. I'm just hearing this thing for the first time. Oh, no. All they've told me is no. It's just bless me, blessing, blessing. Or you've actually fought. You've fought in the war. You've started fighting in the war. And the enemy has intimidated you. You know, what Prof was saying is very true. You will fight. And guess what? He fights back. And I will show you. Let me just quickly show you. Give me Job 41. Don't worry, it's good news that ends it. But you see, when you know who you are facing, the Bible's, it's important. It's Plato that actually said this. Know thyself. You understand? You have to know your enemy. Is it? There's no, as the Ukrainians are fighting the Russians, they know the Russians. Do you understand? They've been part of the Soviets. And that's why it was easy for them to blow up that the one of the largest ships that the Russians have, because they built that ship during the when the Soviet Union was together. It was in Ukraine that the Russians built that ship. It was the Ukrainians that built the ship for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they knew exactly where to fire. They used the drone to circulate and know the things. And you see, it's I like the analogy, because the Americans and the British and the West, they are not fighting the war for them. Do you understand? The victory has been won. All they are doing is to supply them the weapons. So like the Lord just has defeated the devil. But he is not going to come down and live your life for you. He is going to supply, and he has supplied you the blood. He has supplied you the word. And he has supplied you the power of the Holy Spirit with the person of the Holy Spirit beside you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are going to take up the responsibility of being humble to get more grace regularly. Is daily, is consistent, is continuous. Are you listening to me? You are the one that is going to fight the war. You are the one that is born again. You are the one that has the nature. You are the one that is going to get the victory. You are the one that is going to overcome. Like David defeated Goliath. The mighty men of David defeated the brothers of Goliath. Are you listening to me? So you and me have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility to now take the weapons. The West is supplying the Ukrainians weapons. They look small against the Russians. Do you understand? They look small like the Russians, like Satan is experienced. He's been here for thousands of years. You understand? You know, and he's intimidating. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, guess what? The Bible says that Michael and his angels fought. If you can quickly give me, because I'm moving fast because of time. Yeah, 12:18. Michael and his angels fought. And the Bible says that the dragon fought and his angels. They fought back. Do you understand? It is the sin nature, and I can use the dragon because it is his nature that is inside us. That is inside the soul and the flesh that we need to fight and get out. You need to kill it. Because let me tell you something, it wants to kill you. Do you understand? Sometimes it will subside. It will do as if it is mellow. Because it has gone to regroup. Because you are fighting it. Sometimes you are not fighting it. It allows you to get so relaxed so that it will rise suddenly. And you are not ready. You see, it's a tactic. So, see, he's really outnumbered. Like the Russians don't have the weapons of the West world. The Ukrainians are being supplied armor and weapons from the West that the Russians don't have. But it is going to be their responsibility to be persistent and to rise in faith and to be consistent and diligent, however small they might look in themselves. Are you listening to me? This is not time to sleep. If somebody is sleeping, wake him up. Now, so, and there was war in heaven. It's like in your mind. That's your heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon did what? He relaxed. He fought. It's war. It's a guerrilla warfare. I'm born again, but there is war in my members. That's what Paul was saying. There's another law that seeks to hold me captive. And so, so I also wanted to say this. Give me Job 41:8. This peradventure, you're a Christian, you've fought and something has happened. You need to get up. Because when you don't fight with the right weapons, and with, I like what Prof, with the emphasis today is actually the spirit that you need to have. It's not so much about the blood. Yes, the blood, the word, and the spirit are very important. As you get to see how they overcame the dragon, they overcame by the blood of the lamb, the word of their testimony, and the love of their lives unto death. But there was a spirit that they had for them to be able to use those weapons to overcome the enemy. It wasn't just the weapons. You can supply the Ukrainians all the best weapons in the world. If they are intimidated, if they are fearful, if they are not consistent, if they are not disciplined, if they are not humble to ask for how to use them, if they are not persistent and diligent in fighting back, Michael and his angels fought. The dragon fought and his angels. But the Bible says that there was no room for them because Michael and his angels kept fighting. They did not stop. You cannot stop. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If they are not stopping in heaven, there is no reason why you should think of stopping on earth. I listen to me. You need to bring in that heavenly spirit. They are not mellow, mellow guys in heaven, no. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. They are violent, spiritually violent, in enforcing that the kingdom comes and his will is done. God is not just some soppy guy, just sits on the throne and just cross legs. His eyes is blazing with fire. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah, the man of war. Did you hear that? The Bible calls him the what? Peradventure, you don't read that part of your Bible. You see, that's the thing about the Bless Me Club. We'll not tell you that part, that there is a warfare and that God is a man of war. I listen to me. You need to see that part. We need to see that part so that we know that he's a captain of salvation. Are we together? Now, see Job 41:8. And so this chapter talks about the Leviathan. It's actually an animal that they don't know what kind of animal it is. Monster, crocodile, whatever, you know. It's some kind of animal, you know. But when you read the whole chapter, if you faced sin, you know that this thing sounds like the sin nature itself. Do you understand? It talks about the scales. It talks about that. At the end, the way it even ends, it says it's the king of pride. That's Satan. That's a satanic nature. Anything Satan is satanic nature. Anything satanic nature is Satan. Do you understand? The reason why we call you this is because you are of the nature of your father. And it got to a point, Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Because you are manifesting his nature. He is the of God. But we are born again and we are of the children. We are children of God. It says, lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. There are some Christians that they have fought the sin nature. Then the thing, somehow, somewhere, just give them kafa. And they fail. You understand? And they just felt, look, I'm not doing this thing again. That's what Prof was saying. You understand? They fought some battles. They were moving forward because it's a warfare. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. And you've tried. You've been striving. And then suddenly, maybe one of the days, the thing there was 70% sin, 30% righteousness, or even 90% sin practice and temper, and you got discouraged. That's the kind of thing. You laid your hand upon it that day. Maybe you didn't do the appropriate things like you have heard today, you know? And then he says, remember the battle, do no more. Or the thing has haunted you, that particular infirmity has haunted you for years. Days, months, years. Maybe you've even been praying. You know, you've even been studying the word. And you want to give up. Don't give up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't give up. Let me just quickly show you something about the end of that Leviathan. Isaiah 27:1. The main thing you need to take out of this, you know, we could tell you, yes, the blood, the word, and the spirit. Yes, hold on to that. Those are the weapons. But is that spirit we need? There's a spirit we need you to carry out to use those weapons. Like we said, in the natural, the Ukrainians are being supplied the best weapons, drones, you know, all kinds of weapons and money, you know, to buy the weapons, to sponsor them that we've not heard of, you know. But there is something, there is a part of it they need to take up. There is a spirit they need to have. They need to be bold. They need to be humble, you know, to receive wisdom and advice. They need to be disciplined and persistent and diligent in using those weapons. And they need to stay, of course, they need to stay connected with those guys. That's what covering is. Now, this is just something about the Leviathan, that nature, to show you that there is an end for it. That in that day, the Lord with his what? Sore and great and strong sword will do what? Punish Leviathan, the what? That's the satanic nature. The Lucifer, spirit, Luciferian spirit, the spirit, the serpentine spirit. You know how serpents, they move, the lyrical, you understand, the green grass. They are not the boldest animal in the jungle, but is the cunningness, subtlety that they use that you need to be aware of. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you know when that sin nature manifests. It might be when you're alone. It's the subtlety. It might be when you're amongst particular kinds of people. It might be maybe when you watch something, you listen to something. You need to be aware of the enemy's tactics. You need to be alert, awake. Sir? You need to be sober, vigilant. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be awake, alert, and active. You cannot afford to be sleeping spiritually and naturally. Are we together? Yeah, so is that spirit and attitude that we are more particular about? And so he says he's going to punish it. He will slay the dragon that is in the sea, in the people. Let's just end with this. Yeah, so, well, Prof has mentioned it. I'll just end with this, Revelations chapter 3. And it talks about the Philadelphia church. See, because that attitude and that spirit I want us to take out. I want you to be strong and bold. You have the weapons of the blood. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that they overcame him. See, so it's easy to overcome him. Jesus overcame him. Like David overcame Goliath. And the mighty men, boys and girls, mighty men and women of God, the sons and the daughters of God, you are going to overcome the devil, the world, and the flesh also in Jesus' name. Are we together? But when you are humble and you recognize that in yourself you cannot do it, then the Lord just will give you more grace. Do you understand? And you see, I like Paul because he's honest, and the Bible is very honest. Paul said that he had an infirmity, and how many times did he pray? 3. He's just telling us that I kept hitting at it. Do you understand? It wasn't just once. Okay, I beat him. Okay, I prayed today. I sweat. You felt it. You felt the goosebumps. You knew that something actually happened, and then you just relaxed. You need to keep praying on a daily basis. You need to have that spirit of patience, perseverance, consistency. And if the war is still raging in that area, keep praying about it. Don't stop. Do you understand? Continue. So when will I know it is over? Just don't stop. Even when it is over, you keep praying. Do you understand? Because you become a veteran. So you are not going to be asleep and just leave that part. You are still going to be firing. It's not as if you stop worrying. You just shifted gear. Do you understand? Your spirit man just enlarged. So you are able to flood that one. It's not as if you stopped it. You're able to flood that one and enter into a rest and you continue firing. So we are not talking about when you just win and then you relax. The enemy can come back with 7 worst devils. You understand? So, which scripture did I... Revelation 3, where it talks about the Philadelphia church. God wants to bring us into a place where we abide in him continuously. You know? It says that they go no more out. It says that in the day of temptation, in the hour of temptation, we're in that time, iniquity is abounding. You know? The love of many are waxing cold. But this is it. It says, because you have kept the word of my patience, the patience is consistency. You continue. You understand? Sometimes Bible reading might seem not interesting. It might seem like dry cereal in your mouth. It might not be like yesterday when you got revelation. And today might seem different. Continue. Do you understand what I'm saying? Continue. Continue in meditation. Continue in the word. Continue in meditation. Don't be moved by what you see. Continue in meditation. Paul said that I continued in prayer. And then the Lord just said, look, my grace is sufficient. That was what Paul was saying. Sufficiency. My grace is sufficient for thee. Continue. in prayer and in the word. So my word of patience means my word of consistency, my word of perseverance. The war is not an overnight war. If you are looking to diet or build muscle, it's not because you went to the gym today that your muscles start coming out. If you are looking to diet, dieting is not taking a magic pill and overnight you are slim like me. You will work at it. You understand what I'm saying? You will keep at it. You will not give up. And that's the same thing you must do in the realm of the spirit. When the devil says, oh boy, this guy, he won't even give up. He will leave you. Do you understand? He will give up. And so he says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you what? From the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which you have. Let no man take your crown. That means don't give up. Don't give in. Him that overcomes, that's what God is looking for. Overcomers, an overcoming spirit. He will help you. Do you understand? But he wants to see your willingness. He says, my people shall be willing in the day of power. He's going to supply you all you need, all the weapons, all the graces, you know. But you need to stay focused on him. And you need to continue to fight. Are we together? You need to continue to fight. And I think that, I think we can stop here today. You know, this is that main thing that prophets talk about. Humility. It will supply you grace. Diligence. And persistence. And you need to be persistent. You will get strength. And then, you need to stay under covering. You need to stay under matured oversight. We said it last week. You know that you are looking at Jesus. You are not fixing on man. But you are following man that is following Christ. You are copying and dubbing them. The way they are doing things in the place of prayer and the place of the word. We give ourselves continually to prayer and unto the word. You don't stop. Are we together? It's very essential. You keep fighting and don't get weary. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and riseth again. So you will have that complete break, you know, so that you, and the complete fall is so that you can remain completely dependent on him. It's not to shame you. You stand up again. And you see, the enemy will get afraid of you. And you become a veteran, you know, that will be able to teach others and show others the path, you know, of life and righteousness. Let's just bow our heads as we pray.